Thank you. Be seated. Court is ready to hear oral argument in the second set of consolidated cases involving Missouri Pacific Railroad Company, Union Pacific Railroad Company, and Southern Pacific Transportation Company, all original mandamuses. We have allotted 25 minutes for relators and respondents to present oral argument, and the court is ready to hear argument from relators.
May it please the court, relators will be represented by Ms. Stephanie Newman. Ms. Newman has reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court, good morning. I'm Deborah Newman, representing the railroads in this case, and I would like to basically present what the issue is. As the courts know, there are six trial court decisions involved, and the issue is whether the trial court abused discretion in denying the railroad in its motion to transfer venue from Jefferson County for three cases and Tarrant County for three cases, pursuant to the mandatory venue provisions of Section 15.018 of the Texas Civil Practice and Remedies Code for lawsuits brought under the Federal Employers Liability Act. And in order to set the scenario, what I'd like to do is refer the court to Bench Exhibit Number 1, and if I might just hold up a larger version of that for a moment, I would like to show the court that what we have here are six lawsuits. The three lawsuits set in Tarrant County are in yellow boxes. The three lawsuits set in Jefferson County are in the red boxes. And as you can see from this chart, none of the plaintiffs both of the plaintiffs live outside Texas, and all of the plaintiffs were injured outside Texas. We have Oklahoma, Louisiana, New Mexico, and Louisiana again. Only two of the plaintiffs actually even reside in Harris County. And the point of our presentation is to show that venue is proper for all of these plaintiffs, neither in Jefferson County or in Tarrant County, but in Harris County, Texas, under the venue law, because Harris County is the supreme center, the management focus of the railroad in Texas.
Does it have to be the supreme center, Counselor?
Yes, it does have
to be. For purposes of venue?
No, it doesn't have to be the supreme center. For purposes of venue, it has to be the principal office of the railroad in Texas, and the definition that we must go under is...
Well, it has to be a principal office. I mean, isn't that a big difference?
I can explain exactly how the language of the statute came about through the legislative history, and I don't think it is a big difference because the legislative history had to account, the legislature had to account for the possibility that a corporation could have several principal offices in a state of equal power or levels of executives.
They didn't put that in the statute, though, did they?
They didn't put it in the statute, but they clearly put it in the legislative history. And the statute, I believe, to some extent, is ambiguous because it says that it is a principal office. However, the statute also says that the lawsuit can be in the county where the defendant's principal office in the state is located. And they merely then define what a principal office is. And it is a place or a principal office where the decision makers for the organization within the state conduct the daily affairs of the organization. And then they go on to say that the presence of a mere agency or representative is not sufficient. And I think that if there can be more than one principal office, and I think you have to concede that in some cases, for some corporations and some structures, there will be more than one principal office because you could have two offices, two divisions in the state for some company with equal vice presidents, and they are basically two management focuses that are equal in the state. In the legislative history, that was contemplated. And I think it's very important at that point then to look at the structure of what the Union Pacific Railroad is in Texas. And the Union Pacific Railroad management focus, where the decision makers within the organization make the decisions, run the day-to-day operations of the company, are in Harris County, Texas. There are numerous executives in Harris County, Texas. There are none elsewhere in the state. If you take the first example of Jefferson County, there is purely a manager, below the level of a superintendent. There are executives all in Harris County. Then there are superintendents in Harris County. Superintendents operate a region of the railroad. There are six of them in the state. But they only have authority within their own region. They do not have authority throughout the state. So what's really important is that in Harris County, there is a superintendent. He is clearly an agent or representative of the railroad.
Isn't he making decisions for the daily operations of the railroad?
He makes decisions for the daily operations of the railroad within Tarrant County only, not for the state. He is not the management focus for the state. He, in fact, reports to Harris County, and that's critical. And again, the manager in Jefferson County, he actually reports to a superintendent in Livonia, Louisiana, who then reports back to the people in Harris County. So everybody with some authority to make decisions has to report back to the real authority for the state, for the railroad in the state of Texas, which is located in Harris County, Texas.
What if the state of Texas were divided in two and you had a comparable office out in Potter County in the Panhandle to the one in Harris County? How would the statute operate under your interpretation of it?
I believe there would be two principal offices of the railroad if the level of management focus, if the quantity and level of management focus was the same. However, if there were a chief executive officer in one place and a vice president in another place, under our scenario, the statute, the place with the highest ranking or the president would be the principal office.
Given your interpretation of the statute, what is the burden once the venue facts have been controverted, the burden of proof to show principal place of business by the plaintiff to maintain it in the county that they chose to sue?
The burden shifts from the filing plaintiff to the defendant to show that Harris County, in these cases, is the principal office of the railroad in Texas, and we believe we have more than met that burden through the depositions of several executives and through the affidavits of several executives.
If a plaintiff is taking the position that the county of suit is the principal place of business, what would their proof need to look like?
Their proof would need to exceed the level of authority that we presented exists in Harris County. Their proof would need to show that there is the management focus for the entire state out of the county in which they're referring to. Because under the scenario that they're trying to promote, there would be venue for the railroad in so many places in Texas. And the legislature, in trying to limit venue, which was clearly the legislative intent when this venue statute was rewritten, did not contemplate in any of the legislative history for many places throughout the state.
I guess my question is, because of the use of the word principal in the statute, does it infer some sort of qualitative difference in terms of the proof as compared to what we're used to under the venue statute? For example, if you were to show the place where the county where the cause of action accrued, you would show where the car wreck occurred,
right,
or whatever. And so it's one type of fact.
Right.
Principal seems to connote some comparison, as opposed to not just the county of suit, but also how it compares with what may be occurring elsewhere in the state. So is there any special proof requirement given the use of the word principal in this venue statute?
Well, I think so, and I think it's a factual proof that's required to show that the county of venue that the railroad says is its principal office is the county where it has the management focus and the highest ranking executive. Because in the legislative history, and I passed out a bench exhibit with a legislative chronology, which is number 3, it's very important that I go back to the fact that the legislators talked about the rare instance where there might be more than one principal office in the state, and it's specifically spelled out, I believe, on exhibit number 6 on the second page, is that this was designed for those companies who may not necessarily have a central location where the decision makers are located, but may have 3 or 4 locations or 5 locations throughout the state where the decision makers are at an equal level. But what they went on to say is that there may be more than one principal office, but it's going to be in a very, very small number of cases where you cannot distinguish the difference in the power, basically. In other words, where there might be a lot of managers. There might be 20 managers in one place, But if the president of the company is in a county, that's where the principal office is, where the highest ranking people who make the management decisions that reach the entire state.
How do you square that argument with Senator Bivens's purported amendment to put the word primary in, and Senator Mumford's candid response on the floor of the Senate that Senator Bivens' amendment would tighten up venue quite a bit and would reduce forum shopping a good bit more than his language, but that his language had been agreed to by everybody, and Senator Bivens's would start the battle again, and the Senate rejected it 23-7.
Well, I think that's the reason I made up that legislative chronology chart.
But you left the part that I just referred to.
Which is Exhibit number 3. And I think what's important to note is that when the bill had already been agreed to in the House, it then went to the Senate, and that's the time you're talking about, is the April 11 to 19 time, when the Senate is talking about inserting primary, okay? The bill was already agreed to. Senator Mumford said that he did not disagree with the spirit of that proposed amendment, but he was in a particularly touchy situation because the bill had already been agreed to. But what he said is, that's why we are going to use the nerve center test. And the nerve center test even goes to more, can be, when that nerve center test is applied and should be applied as it was adopted, it's even a tighter situation. In other words,
how could it be tighter than what you're telling us, which is you only can have one county in the state unless there's two or more counties with equal management power.
Oh, I mean tighter than if you just had primary decision maker.
Yet for what you're arguing this language says, it doesn't seem to me that Senator Bivens' amendment would have tightened that up at all.
You know, I don't think it would have either, and I think we'd be here anyway. But I think he responded to not putting in the word primary by saying, basically, we don't need it. We have the nerve center test, and the nerve center test is going to dictate that the focus, the management focus, where the high-level executives run the day-to-day affairs of the company.
Well, he said it was more than an agent, and it was more than just having a franchisee. And
well,
he said, quote, if you want to tighten up the bill even more, vote with Senator Bivens.
He did. But then what happened was they were trying to make sure they had more than an agency representative, so it went back into the House, and the House added the sentence, the mere presence of an agency or representative does not establish a principal office. And I think that elevates it right there. We have clearly stepped away from the agency or representative, which is arguably what exists in Beaumont, and clearly what exists in Tarrant County.
What if you have a situation, considering facts perhaps in another case that may come before us, where you have a small corporate headquarters, let's say in Dallas, you have the president and the CEO, but unequivocally, unquestionably, the vast majority of operations are conducted out of Houston. Other than, you know, token 12 people in Dallas, you have 2,500 people in Houston conducting all the operations. How would you categorize that?
Well, under the nerve center test, the highest ranking official would be where the venue would lie because they rejected the operations test. The operations test would apply, and that's one of the things that they tried to do in Jefferson County, was say, well, the operations are here or whatever. Well, Houston would win the operations test, but that we don't believe that's the right test anyway. The nerve center test was the one that was adopted, so regardless of where the operations were, if there were plants all over the state that had hundreds or thousands of people working, if the corporate officers ran it out of County X, County X would be where the primary, the principal office of the company would be.
What if the decision that was the basis of the cause of action occurred in the county where the major operations were? Do we need,
well,
the legislature inserted the phrase decision makers, and,
right,
and I'm trying to see whether or not we need to focus on that and try to define what does that mean?
Well, there was, they tried to make a rational relationship between decisions that affected, decisions that would actually have any bearing on perhaps the incident that occurred, okay? But the plaintiff has two other choices of venue. It need not go to the primary location, the principal office of a company. It can sue where it occurred. The witnesses are there. It can sue where the plaintiff resided at the time. And those places may or may not have a definite connection to decisions either.
Okay, so if we have two equal office, regional offices, say one for administration and our headquarters for operations, and someone is injured as a result of a decision made at the regional office for operations, venue is still appropriate in the regional office for administration?
Well, the FELA statute contemplates the personal injury, and I don't know how to answer the scenario that you're presenting, but I can answer it in the personal injury context, which is what applies in my cases. And basically, if the decision or action or inaction was in a certain place, that would be where the accident occurred, and the plaintiff would have a right to sue there.
But would the plaintiff have the right to have a sue in the regional office with the administration?
No, the plaintiff would have the right to sue in the place where the decision makers conduct the daily affairs of the company in the state. And
even though they're equal rank?
If they're equal rank, they could sue
Vice President of Administration, Vice President of Operations.
Then either place.
So it doesn't matter that there were no decisions made at the Regional Office of Administration?
No, it doesn't matter. They, under the statute and under the scenario of the legislative history, they can sue in either place. But that is not the scenario of the Union Pacific Railroad. And the scenario of the Union Pacific Railroad is that Harris County is the place where all of the management focus lies.
So even if the pleadings here had been that the manager in Jefferson County made the decision that caused the accident in Port Allen, Louisiana, it's your position that this statute, when it refers to decision makers for the organization within the state, refers back to the nerve center?
That's exactly right, because it's almost like a respondeat superior. The company, the corporation, is responsible, and the people that are in charge of the corporation are responsible for the actions of its employees and managers. I think that...
Ms. Newman, this is and your point is it's a relative thing. We have to look at the particular business, not the function that's performed, to determine this principal issue.
That's exactly right.
If Harris County, Houston didn't exist, and all you had was three superintendents in the state, then their principal place of business would be where the superintendent was,
because that's
the major decision maker in the state.
Exactly.
And so if a company does a lot of business in the state and has a lot of operations in the state, but the chief operating officer and the chief executive officer want to go live on a lake in Mount Vernon, and they move there, then that county becomes the county of the principal place of business.
If that's where they office, yes.
So that's where they choose to be.
That's where they office, right. So I think if you look at the chronology of the legislative history, I think the fact that principal office did not have primary before it is basically a red herring. If principal office is a principal office, whether it's a primary principal office or a sub-primary principal office, we'd still be here talking about it. And that's why Senator Bivens, Senator Monford, suggested and adopted the nerve center test to have some guidance for the courts to know that the nerve center is where the corporation radiates out to its constituent parts in a state and from which its officers, of which all of them, all the executives are in Harris County, direct, control, and coordinate all activities without regard to locale and in furtherance of the corporate objective. And we are certainly not saying that people that work for the railroad at all levels cannot make decisions, but that's not the definition of decision maker in the statute or as contemplated by the legislature.
Okay, I want to make sure I understand this. You're talking about the location where the decisions are made statewide for the organization or regional-wide for the organization?
Yes. And it's not to say that someone couldn't be traveling somewhere and make a decision while they're in a different county, just like this court can't say that it's not in Austin, although it's now sitting here in Tarrant County today. It's where the base is, where the chief operation is. Luckily, we don't have a state income tax, but if we had a state income tax, we would have to file it from our base of operations. The railroads would have to file it out of Harris County, because that's the county where its chief executives are in the state, the highest ranking executives who make the decisions that run the railroad in the state of Texas. There are other people that have management responsibilities that can make decisions in different places, but they're not the types of decisions that permeate out to and encompass the whole state. They're decisions that are based on policy that is actually made in Harris County, Texas, and that originates from its headquarters in Omaha, Nebraska. But it's Omaha to Harris County, out to the state.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. Court is ready to hear argument from respondents.
May it please the court. Darrell Moore and Ms. Lauren Melton will present argument for the respondents. Mr. Moore will open with the first 15 minutes. Thank you.
May it please the court, counsel. While the railroad accuses the plaintiffs in this case of blatant forum shopping, it asks the court to expressly adopt what the legislature considered and rejected.
What does principal mean in the statute?
Principal means a office, and I think it's significant, and it can be more than one office, and it's where the decision
Now, what does principal mean? What is the common meaning of the word principal? Wouldn't we need to look to that?
Someone who has the authority to act on behalf of the corporation.
Just the common meaning. Does that not connotate chief or some relative principal?
I don't think it, well, I think in traditional, for example, in respondent superior law, it would connotate chief or relative, but as the court knows, in the agency or representative context, it's not the tortious type of agency or representative that we're talking about.
Let me ask again then, when you look at the statute, not looking at the definitional section, but just the use of the word principal in the statute, what does that mean? I'm not communicating well with you.
I apologize. I don't understand.
Why don't you define what you think principal means?
Someone who has the discretion from the corporation to act on behalf of the corporation and to exercise their discretion.
How many managers are there in the state of Texas for, just pick one of these railroads, whichever one your client is in?
We don't know on the record before us how many managers are in the entire state of Texas. We know that there are four managers in Jefferson County, a manager of train operations, which in this case, that manager has the ability to bind and act on behalf of the corporation, on behalf of the railroad. And it's significant to look to the record in this case because while the railroad argues that nobody in Jefferson County can make any decisions that affect anything outside Jefferson County immediately, Jerry Swain is the manager of train operations in Jefferson County. And he makes decisions on a daily basis, according to the testimony of Merrick Walton, the Solicitor General, that extend all the way into Louisiana because his territory extends into Louisiana. So certainly, he can make decisions that affect not just Jefferson County, but can affect another state. So the proposition that it can't is just not correct.
Is there any concept incorporated in this amendment to the venue statute that requires consideration of the relative authority of one office as compared to another?
No, Your Honor, there's not.
So all a plaintiff need do is go in and show someone at a particular level in the corporation's authority, and that's sufficient.
I think that's correct. If the plaintiff demonstrates that there is a decision maker, that's in this case the definition of principal, someone who can bind the corporation and has discretion to act on behalf of the corporation, that's sufficient. I don't think that the trial court can engage in the balancing test of there's somebody that's more primary than not. For example, the railroad takes the position that it can only be the executives or the officers of the corporation. The railroad concedes, by the way, at oral argument at the trial court level that a superintendent is a decision maker. They make serious policy considerations on behalf of the railroad. And Solicitor General Walton testified in his deposition that it really starts even lower than that. The decision makers start at the management level.
Under your theory, then, if you had a company that had multiple stores or offices throughout the state, for example, let's say Walmart, and let's say that Walmart did not deal with franchisees, under your theory then, every town that had a Walmart would be a potential venue for them.
I don't believe so, Your Honor, and this is why. The Walmart, for example, if we use your analogy of a Walmart manager, somebody who manages a Walmart store that is directly employed by Walmart, while he or she may make decisions that are regarding the daily affairs of the operation of Walmart, that is consistent with what the railroad is arguing. They don't make any decisions that affect anything outside of their immediate control. For example, if they shut down a Walmart in Fort Worth, Texas, it will not affect another Fort Worth Walmart, and it won't affect a Walmart anywhere else. So it just doesn't extend beyond that. The railroad is unique in this instance because a railroad manager can make a decision that affects people even outside the state and certainly outside the region. So I think that's what's the distinguishing characteristic of what makes the railroad unique, and which exemplifies that what we're arguing is not that the court hold that this is a Jiffy Lube bill, so somebody can go in and sue a Walmart or sue a Jiffy Lube. That's not what the plaintiffs are asking. But if they have the ability to bind the corporation and they're more than an agent or representative, and I think on this record they're more than an agent or representative because it's so different than the Ruiz case, then they have the ability to act to bind the corporation under the statute and venue is proper.
When the legislature was dealing specifically with railroads in the FELA venue provision, which we all know deals with railroads, it didn't say a county in which there is a principal office. It said the county, didn't it?
That's correct, Justice Owen. But also in the specific FELA statute under 15018, the principal office is defined in 15001 of the definition section of the venue statute. So I think we have to take the general definition of principal office and construe it with the principal office in 15018. I think that they have to be read together. And I think the legislative history in this case is so significant, especially with regards to the nerve center test and what the principal office means. If the court looks at the legislative history, when Senator Montford was addressing the Senate Executive Development Committee on April the 11th, he actually said they cannot work out a bill, so we've come up with a bill. And the bill was the principal office. That is the instance where he said, in this bill we've adopted the nerve center test. There has to be a nexus between the act or the event or the entity. But then if the court will look closely at the history, and this is critical, he stopped and said, we think we're about to work something out. If we could take an hour and a half break and go outside, I think we're about three words away from having a consensus on this bill. And he came back in an hour and a half to the committee, and they had changed the three words, and one of those words was it went from the principal office to a principal office. And that's significant because when they changed from the principal office to a principal office, they disregarded the nerve center test. And if they hadn't done so, it would render the bill meaningless because Senator Bivens proposed exactly what the railroad is arguing in this case.
Well, from changing, Senator Montford said on the floor that from changing from the to a, this is what he meant. It should apply to a very small number of businesses whose organizational structure is such that their presence in perhaps two or three counties is equally as strong.
That's correct, Justice Jackson.
That can't be said of the railroad here.
Well, he went further, though, and he said where there's a strong presence. And then Representative Duncan, when he was debating House Bill 6, said there could be three or four or five. We don't know. And Senator Montford said there could be two or three, but they both said it's going to have to be on a case-by-case basis.
But he also said equally as strong, so he just misspoke there.
Well, I think he said equally as strong, and then he went further, I think, in his comments and said a strong presence. I think Beaumont is a strong presence. I also think
it's not equally as strong.
I don't think equally has to be identical, though. I don't think, for example, that because Harris County has demonstrated that there are more decision-makers, perhaps, then the only way they can have another principal office in Texas is if they have another office that's equally as strong. And I think the railroad has conceded that because in open court, when the railroad conceded that there are six solicitors and the six solicitors are decision makers and they make serious policy decisions for the railroad, if those six solicitors, I mean superintendents, are spread out to six different counties, then there could be six principal offices under the railroad's own admission.
Well, I'm not sure how much weight to give these words, as you may know, but it can't be said that Jefferson and Tarrant County have equally as strong railroad offices as Harris County in this case, or do you think it can be?
I think that on the record before the court, it doesn't appear that there's as strong of a presence, but it makes me want to address something that I think is also critical, and that's the standard of review in this. And that is, the trial court was commended to only consider the plaintiff's undenied venue facts and the prima facie proof. And the undenied venue facts is that in Jefferson County there are managers and management personnel who have the ability to hire and fire and make management decisions. The prima facie evidence by Merrick Walton supports that and says, and I want to take just a second to read from his testimony. It's at page 52. first the manager, then the superintendent, then the general superintendent, and ultimately the general manager would resolve issues relating to problems in moving trains. So if the question is which train to build first, which train to get out of the yard first, those decisions can be affected on a local basis by the decision-making authority of managers, superintendents, et cetera.
And let me understand.
Let me just understand.
Your position is if every other railroad manager in Texas were in Tarrant County, say, but there was one in Jefferson County, if the plaintiff puts on proof of the one in Jefferson County, then that's all he's got to do for venue.
I think if the plaintiff puts on proof that there's a manager who has decision-making ability, like Mr. Walton said, that's sufficient for its prima facie proof.
Don't you have to look at other jurisdictions? Otherwise, what's the purpose of the word principal?
I don't think that the trial court could look, for example, to the Harris County evidence, and this is why. Since it's a venue determination, the trial court was required under Rule 87.3 only to consider the plaintiff's undenied venue allegations and only the plaintiff's proof.
Yes, but if the statute requires the plaintiff to prove more through its prima facie proof beyond what is occurring in Jefferson County, so that the trial court, the plaintiff has to show not only what's in Jefferson County, but also relative to what may be occurring in other counties, then there could be a failure of the plaintiff's prima facie proof.
If the statute required the plaintiff to go further, that could be true. But the statute requires that the plaintiff adduce prima facie evidence that it's a principal office in which the daily affairs of the railroad are conducted.
But in this case, the plaintiff's prima facie proof is limited to what is occurring in Jefferson County.
And I think under the...
Right, is that... In the Jefferson County cases.
I think the plaintiff did not go further and did not have to go further and prove whatever was going on in other counties. As soon as he or she produced prima facie evidence that venue is proper in Jefferson County because there is a decision maker, and Mr. Walton said four or five times that it's conducting the daily affairs, then that's enough.
But compared to the Walmart situation, it's insufficient for someone who conducts the daily affairs of the Walmart in Tarrant County or wherever. It's because that's not conducting the affairs for the organization. And how is the manager in Jefferson County conducting the daily affairs of the organization if you consider the organization to mean the entire company?
The way that the manager in Jefferson County that is doing it is different than a Walmart manager would be. On this record, for example, there are two trains that originate in Jefferson County and three that end up there, and the manager is the person who decides whether the trains go or stay. The manager is affecting decisions. If he makes a decision in Jefferson County, it can affect Southern Pacific's rail line in Louisiana, which is part of his territory, or as far west as El Paso. He is affecting the day-to-day operations of the railroad because it's so unique, because it's transportation. The Walmart parallel is different because a Walmart manager would not affect other Walmart stores by a decision that a Walmart manager made, for example, in Fort Worth.
You've said a couple of times that the railroad is unique. Would your view of this statute as applies to the railroad affect other businesses? Can you suggest other businesses it would affect?
I think an example that may be sort of similar would be Continental Airlines, or an airline may be sort of similar to the railroad, because a decision that's made, for example, by an air traffic controller in an airport in Houston, Texas, if air traffic controllers were employed by Continental like they are in the railroad context, then that could affect travel not just in Texas, but all over the United States. They could affect cargo, they could affect passengers. It affects more than just the venue where the plaintiff is seeking to file the lawsuit. I also want to address one thing briefly with regard to the standard of review, and that is, the railroad has contended that the burden of proof shifts, and I think because they did not change the burden of proof under the venue statute for the plaintiffs in this case, the burden never shifted after the railroad alleged that Harris County is also a proper venue for the plaintiff to come and adduce additional evidence. The plaintiff's proof in this case demonstrated compliance with 87.3, that there is a principal office, that there is a decision maker in Jefferson County, and then at that point the inquiry ended. It would have been an abuse of the trial court's discretion under the Wilson case to do anything other than retain the case on the court's docket.
Mr. Moore, let me ask you, you say this in the Ruiz case, the result of the Ruiz case was to say that you have to have a place where you're doing business, and you have to have someone with the discretion to do business on the part of the company. And it seems to me that's the result of the Reeves case. If we accept your understanding of what principle means here, then this statute is nothing more than a codification of the Ruiz case.
No, I think it's more than that, because they actually picked up the language from Ruiz and they said it has to be more than a mere agency or representative. And if we go back...
So it only has to be a place where they do business, and there's a person there who can make a decision that is a corporate type of decision. Essentially, it's the result in Ruiz. That's what this statute produces.
I think that it's more than the reason, and this is why. I think when you look at the legislative history, Senator Bivens wanted it to be the primary decision makers, and they said no. Agency or representative, they knew about Ruiz, and they said no. So it's somewhere between primary decision maker and a mere agency or representative. And they said a principal office is anywhere where a decision maker conducts the daily affairs, and a mere agency or representative. So we know that it's somewhere in the middle.
But how did Ruiz define agency or representative?
Ruiz defined agency as someone with a more or less permanent presence in the county, and a representative as someone who has the discretion to bind. And I think that that's significant. In this case, the definition isn't just codified into the statute, and the Ruiz facts were so different. They had five permanent employees. It was Conoco, and they were just monitoring oil wells that went through, with one production foreman who came in and out and was not there on a full-time basis. He had limited discretion, which is so different than this case where the managers have the ability to stop, start trains in effect outside their jurisdiction. Thank you. I can see that my time is up, and if the court doesn't have any more questions, I will.
Anything further? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
May it please the court. My name is Lauren Melton, and I represent three of the plaintiffs that are here before the court today on this venue issue. Mr. Smurl, Martin, and Williams. These gentlemen, the facts of their case are slightly different from the cases in Jefferson County. There is a superintendent for the Union Pacific Railroad who is in charge of operations at his level in Tarrant County. All three of these cases were filed in Tarrant County, and Judge McCoy maintained venue here in Tarrant County, and the Second Court of Appeals affirmed.
How big is the district that the superintendent is responsible for?
Chief Justice, I will tell you that because of my studies of legislative intent and my interpretation and belief of what the legislature intended to base venue upon did not have to do necessarily with the size of the operation, I did not focus on the details I would like to be able to give you today, but I will tell you that in my travels and studies of this subject matter, that the Union Pacific testimony has said in various measures of what operation is the biggest. That Tarrant County is second in many cases in size. That would be number of trains originating in Tarrant County, the number of crews originating in being formed here. And to my knowledge, in some respects, it is the second largest presence in terms of operations in the state of Texas.
Second to
Harris County. Your Honor,
is there any evidence about whether their final decision-making authority resides in Tarrant County? Are there any decisions that the superintendent can make that can't be overridden by Harris County decision-makers?
Well, I agree with my co-counsel that the railroad is unique, for instance, as to Judge Abbott's example of Walmart, in that this is by nature a transient business. There is testimony that business of the Union Pacific Railroad is to operate trains, and we know, and I'm not, trains move. There are many decisions that, for instance, Joe Whalen, the superintendent here in Tarrant County, makes on a daily basis that he has full authority to make that have to do with the movement of trains that are irreversible, one event at a time. Also, we have testimony as the railroad conceded in open court is that serious policy and operational decisions are made by superintendents. As recently as in the Union Pacific's petition for writ of mandamus to this very court, also stated that serious policy and operational decisions are made by superintendents at the superintendent level and above.
Can you, y'all, you put some adjectives on that, but give us some factual examples.
Factual example would be whether to run a train or not, and I believe that there are 19 trains that originate on a daily basis in Tarrant County, and the superintendent, Mr. Whalen, here in Tarrant County has the full authority to decide whether that train runs or not, whether the crew that it is staffed with is appropriate, whether the train is loaded.
Are you saying that no one in Harris County can override that authority?
Certainly can be overridden, but Mr. Whalen is not required to contact Harris County for decisions at this level.
In the same question I asked Mr. Moore, if interpreting it the way you interpret the statute, you do business in the county and you have a person who can exercise discretion on behalf of the company, how is then what is the difference between this statute and the result achieved in the Ruiz case?
I understand your question, Judge Enoch, and I think that the bar has very definitely and the standard has been very definitely raised, whereas prior to the new venue law effective in September 1st of 95, there were 254 counties in which the railroad could be sued. Now, on the basis of the facts that I'm advocating today, there would be, if the superintendent is the lowest level of decision maker in the railroad that would qualify a county as proper venue for a suit against the Union Pacific Railroad, there would be four counties in the state of Texas.
So how do we determine? I mean, we've already said in Ruiz, this person has to exercise some decision-making authority for the company.
Right.
You say the statute has raised the bar to some other level.
Yes.
Well, what is that? I mean, what kind of decision does this person have to make it a principal office as opposed to simply exercising a decision that is discretionary, binds the company, and they do business here?
Well, I must agree. We were, Judge Enoch, we were at somewhat of a loss ourselves, and we relied upon testimony of the executive officers of the Union Pacific Railroad to help us understand what the railroad itself considered to be serious policy and operational decisions. There is testimony.
So your rule would be it'd be a serious policy decision? That's the standard? If this person has a serious policy decision-making role, that makes it principal office.
We may well use the words of the railroad, yes, sir, and say serious policy and operational decisions. When the railroad first started exploring the meaning of the new venue law, they began, in particular, the two general solicitors, who are attorneys and are not connected in any way, shape, or form, and I'll address you very briefly. To my exhibit, this is an organizational chart that I drew up myself. I asked the railroad for an organizational chart. They said they didn't have one. So I took the testimony of the general solicitor of the railroad, and all of this is substantiated by his very own words. And what you'll see is that most of these lines going from the various managers in the railroad go straight up to Omaha, Nebraska, which of course is the nerve center of the railroad, being a foreign corporation. Testimony of Merrick Walton, and where we were trying to get through all of these questions, is who are the people in the state of Texas that make the decisions that you consider to be conducting the daily affairs of the railroad.
If there are four offices in Texas that have superintendents,
yes, ma'am.
How many counties are comparable to Jefferson County in that the top-level person is a manager?
I have no answer to that question.
Are there a lot of counties? Do we have any idea if there are a lot of counties or one or two?
I do not. I represent plaintiffs have filed cases in Tarrant, and I focused my attention on the issue of whether a superintendent would qualify. And back to the beginning, when these general solicitors began to make their case for choosing the venue for them as a defendant and only being sued in Harris County, among the decision makers that they listed, and I mean consistently, they have not backed off from this, they have consistently listed from superintendents on up as general policy, making important policy and operational decisions. My belief that the legislative intent was that there be a level of authority higher than agent or representative, significantly higher. And I repeat that it's that what I am proposing here today is that at the very least, these 254 counties where agency and representative exposed the Union Pacific Railroad to lawsuits be raised significantly to where the presence of a superintendent in four counties in the state of Texas would qualify that office as an office, a principal office of the Union Pacific Railroad. And you ask me, what activities, what decisions do they make that we as a court can use as a go-by?
Go ahead, you can answer the question.
Thank you. I'm relying on the testimony of the executive officers of the Union Pacific Railroad that superintendents, without further detail, adequately qualify as decision makers.
If I understand your viewpoint, then you would say that we should focus on what's the lower common denominator level of the decision maker, as opposed to going to the top and see who has the highest authority to determine whether there's more than one principal office. Is that correct?
Yes, Judge Baker, I do.
So, and because your case is different than Mr. Moore's, he can't get to the level, at least from these charts, that you propose, because, quote, there's only a manager in Jefferson County, but there's superintendents in Tarrant County, which is a difference between your two cases.
That is the difference. If I had only had a manager to deal with here in Tarrant County, I would have explored more thoroughly to see if I could get input from the officers and the executives that are in Harris County as to whether managers would qualify as well. We only drew the line because we believe there's a bare statutory minimum of the presence of a superintendent. We do not believe that there's a comparison between Harris and Tarrant County. We do know that they have officers galore. We believe that we qualify on the basis of legislative intent that I studied thoroughly and the remarks of the authors of the bill.
Any other questions?
In response to the proof about making decisions, I think what's critical here is that to focus on the Tarrant County superintendent, the Tarrant County superintendent proof in the record is very, very clear. And he says, I get my directions from Houston. He cannot move a train under his own authority. He must have help or authority that supplies within and beyond the Fort Worth service unit. So certainly, if the superintendent is testifying and signing affidavits that he cannot move trains under his own authority but must derive that authority from Houston, it is clear that the decision makers whose decisions radiate to the entire state are those decision makers to whom superintendents report and under them to whom managers report.
You do agree we can't resolve any disputed facts at the mandamus level of venue determination.
I don't believe there is a dispute on this fact, Your Honor.
How many counties have managers? Do you know?
It's not in the record, Your Honor, but there are many, many counties that have managers. I couldn't give you a number, but I would guess, in representing the railroad for 12 years, about 50.
Which counties have superintendents?
Fort Worth, Bexar County, Houston has four, and I think Longview, Texas has one. At this point, sometimes they move around. The corporate headquarters don't move around, but the superintendents are frequently moved. So just to reiterate, I think the facts in the record basically are undisputed because there is no one has disputed Mr. Whalen's testimony, and he has basically said that Hanley's decisions, and Hanley, again, is that general manager in Houston, the highest ranking executive under the vice president of transportation for the whole southern region, and he derives his authority from there. He certainly would have to call him up to ask if he can sneeze or make a small decision, but he does have to have policies within which he has a framework of following the policies for the railroad.
If the superintendent in Tarrant County had the authority to move the train, as you put it, would that be sufficient?
I don't believe it would.
Why not?
Because it's not making a policy that radiates out to the entire state. He still has to operate within the framework of policy set forth in Harris County by the executives and the managers, the general managers, and the general superintendents to whom he reports.
How long has this manager been in Tarrant County if these jobs move around?
There's been a manager.
How long has there been a manager?
He's been
superintendent.
A long time.
Superintendent.
A long time. Many years.
Ms. Newman, let me ask you, a possible explanation of the difference between the principal office and a principal office may be the difference between looking for the pinnacle of the pyramid and some minimum standard of decision making, which produces a multi-headed thing. So the argument being that since it's no longer the principal place of business, it can't be just Houston, because there could be more than one principal place of business in Texas. So maybe what was happening is we no longer focus on the top. We simply look within the structure to see what the lowest level of management meets a certain threshold, in which case you've got four counties in Texas that would be qualified as one of the principal offices in the state.
Well, I don't think that was what the legislature intended, and I think when Senator Monford said on April 19th that businesses that have more than one, in referring to a business that may have more than one principal office, I believe it applies to a very small number of businesses whose organizational structure is such that their presence in perhaps two or three counties is equally as strong, and thus they may have a principal office in each of those counties. So I think it was clearly contemplated, and the whole amendment to the venue statute was to limit and to be able to determine through very simple discovery where a principal office is located. I think if we start opening the door to the types of decisions someone may make ad hoc on a day that might affect a lot of people in Texas, we're going to go right back to the agency and representative standard, which is specifically prohibited in the statute that we're here talking about today.
Do I understand your basic position then is where the other two facets of venue are not present, that the railroad can only be sued in Harris County in Texas?
The way the railroad is structured in Texas at this time, the answer to that would be yes.
So there's only one principal office, the principal office here.
Yes.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. That concludes the argument in the second cause and concludes the arguments at the court sitting today in Fort Worth. We're very pleased to have had the opportunity to make this visit, which is still a historic one for us as we begin operating under the new constitutional provision that allows occasional travel. And the marshal will now adjourn the court.
Oyez, oyez, oyez. The Honorable Supreme Court of Texas now stands adjourned.